You are listening to The Tenants on the Kyle Dempster Studios Network. To support us, visit patreon.com/ Kyle Dempster Studios. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to a new episode of The Tenants. My name is Kyle, and I'm joined by my co-host, Stark Realm. How are you, Stark?
Pretty good.
Good to hear. Just to give everyone the heads up here, I'm having some real internet issues. If you've been in the stream recently and you've seen that, it's not on my end, I can say that now, which is a relief. But if for any reason there's a cut in the podcast episode where we have to... It sounds funny. There's the background for it. Hopefully it will be fixed if the internet gods accept my tribute of Stark. Surprise!
Wait, what?
Hey, so we're going to talk about Merkmire today. It is currently October 21st when we're recording this, and that means that for PC and Mac users, you are getting Merkmire tomorrow, aka probably the day you're listening to this episode. So October 22nd, Merkmire will be available to those who either choose to purchase it through the Crown Store or have ESO Plus. For those that choose to wait, it will be available as a daily login reward in November. For you PS4 and Xbox One players, you will be getting it November 6th. It'll be available to you. So before we dive into Merkmire, though, I just want to do a quick recap on what we've been up to, because the Witches Festival went live on Thursday. So, Stark, we were just talking about it a second ago, but what have you been doing? Anything special with it?
Yeah, a couple of things. One of these, we actually have to patch up a little bit from last week, and I actually listed this on Twitter, but there was a miscommunication on the way the Dromora skulls work. Those are once per day each, per account, so it's not per character. And they're on a 20-hour timer. So if you do something today, try to keep track of when you did the first one, and then tomorrow, 4 hours earlier, it'll be available. So ideally, if you're playing around the same time of day, every day, you should be fine. Also, your event ticket is on the same 20-hour timer. So the first time you get a Dromora skull, you'll get your event ticket at the same time. You need to loot it with it. It'll go into your inventory. It'll go in as a currency item, so it won't show up in the inventory slot. But if you don't loot that ticket, it will be gone for the day. Other than that, like we said yesterday, there's going to be a lot of tickets available before the end of the year. And ZeniMax Online actually listed the total available. It's going to be possible to collect 86 before the end of the year.
Wow. So wait, that's so where did our math come out to that?
Ours came out a couple below that, but this is, we didn't know it was going to be on a 20-hour timer. So there's a couple of events, including Witches Festival, that actually it's potentially possible to get more tickets than we thought.
You said how many? 86?
86 total, yeah.
Well, everybody, Stark's good at math. He said 81 without knowing the full behind-the-scenes specific. Yeah. So you were that's very good math there, Stark.
A little bit.
So that's, yeah, the Witches Festival has been interesting. We noticed there was some miscommunication. I guess I just told Stark we weren't going to talk about this, but there is a little bit of a, people were reporting little glitches here and there with getting some skulls on Somerset. So one thing that's very important to do is make sure you do your festival starter quest that's available in the Crown Store. Make sure you do that. And then also pay a bit of attention to what skulls you're looting. There's communication going on in-game between players saying, oh, I can't get plunder skulls from Somerset Delves. And then other people are saying they can. And I personally, and I'm going to admit, I wasn't watching so actively because I'm doing it on Twitch and multitasking. I didn't notice getting gold Dromora skulls from a geyser boss, even though I should have. It was my first kill of the day. So the geyser boss being in Somerset, I didn't notice getting gold skull from a delve out there in Somerset, and it should have given it to me. Again, I wasn't paying attention until after the fact when I said, huh. So just pay attention. If you're not getting them there, go back to the old world and try doing it somewhere else. Just make sure you get your gold skulls for the day so that you're actually working towards those. If that's something you want to do, you know, go out there and work for it.
Yeah.
Stark said the opposite, that he actually got some from Geyser. So again,
that's weird.
It could be glitchy. Yeah. It could just be certain people aren't looking at, who knows.
It's also possible there's other factors we're not seeing. in my case, I was doing it on a character that's actually got the Sun's Dusk Reaper achievement. So that could be a factor. Like, it could be a number of things that are being a little bit strange. But yeah, if you're trying to keep track of what's dropping, if you're not seeing what you want, especially if you're on Somerset, then yeah, head to the mainland and see if you can get your drops there.
Yeah. So far, very happy with the Plunder Skulls this year, Stark. I you know, we were saying this off air. I didn't participate last year. I wasn't playing then, but I'm really liking the furniture that's coming out of the purple Plunder Skulls. Very nice stuff on my part, like the animal bones, witchy sort of items. Got some nice pumpkins and stuff. A lot of stuff to really spruce up a Halloween themed house for the season. So, in no short amount either.
Yeah, no, there's been some really nice stuff. It's definitely an improvement over last year, where the big contribution for furnishing was some of the dead wood, you know, sort of these dead trees you could throw in there. So, yeah, that works for the Halloween theme, but it's kind of like, thanks, guys, this is a little odd. Beyond that, there's also some really nice recipes mixed in there that are still there. There's the Hollowjack motif, so that no longer feels like we're getting oversaturated with it. And, yeah, no, I think it's actually in pretty good shape now.
I taught my alt the Witch Mother's Brew, Potent Brew thing, and I feel like that sells for a pretty penny, and I wasn't paying attention, and I was like, oh, this is fine. It's like 3K or something like that, and then I realized that actually, I believe, sells for a good bit more. Maybe I'm wrong.
I'm not sure, but it's still good stuff to be able to make, so.
My alt, yeah, though, didn't need it. I'm going to look that up, actually. I'm going to look that up in a minute, how much that sells for, so I can really thoroughly kick myself and really wallow in my self-pity. But anyway, before I do that, back to Mark Meyer, the excitement for the week. So on top of the Witches Festival starting on Thursday, now come to Monday here, we have a whole new world to explore. And I guess the advantage to this, whole new land, whatever. But the advantage is what we're getting in Merkmire, and I'm skipping through our patch notes or our notes here a little bit. But I mean, we're looking at two new world bosses coming in with Merkmire. We're looking at two new delves. We're looking at a new arena, which, tying it right back into the Witches Festival, those are things that yield skulls. So assuming everything works and flows properly, we should be able to get Plunder Skulls while actually functioning in the new content. I thought these things would be kind of competing for time, you know, Witches Festival versus Merkmire, but actually maybe they're going to flow together really well, and that you're going to be trying new stuff and getting your Witches Festival goodies. I don't know. Something to shout out too. We kind of talked about how you can get this. You know, Merkmire will be available to PC players on October 22nd in the Crown Store. And if you've got ESO Plus already, you're going to log in and you're going to have access to it right away. But there's also going to be a collector's edition. And this is typical for how Zoss releases DLCs. So in this collector's edition, you should be getting the Shellback Warhorse and the Cantaloupe Swamp Jelly Pet. Yummy, Stark. Yummy. I wrote that.
Well, if you're wanting to eat it. Yeah, I see that.
Don't forget the Swamp Jelly Scrolls.
There's also some XP scrolls. I forget the denomination on this. So the fun thing about the collector's editions with the Swamp Jelly Pets, those are actually, it's this whole series of pets. One of those is tied to the Merkmire Prologue Dailies, and that's available to everybody already. So even if you're on console, you can start doing the Merkmire Dailies. Those will have you wander around specific zones and trying to get your team ready before you go into Merkmire. And there's also a prologue quest. If you haven't done that, the dailies will still be locked. You can pick that up from the Crown Store, I believe, on console still. On PC, you will have to go to one of the starter cities, so Velkalgard, Davin's Watch, or Daggerfall, and look for an NPC who is representing the Cyrodiilic Collectors Society, and then do a couple of quests for them to unlock those. Beyond that, once you've got those, that's another one of the Swamp Jellies. I forget which one. And then one of the Swamp Jellies, I believe, is awarded when you first zone into the base city, Lilmoth, in southern Merkmire. I think there's a total of seven, though, and I'm trying to remember where I got that number from, but I don't remember, and I don't remember how you get the others. So there are these little floating floating netch-like pets.
Yeah, they're really cool. And I got an interesting screenshot because someone had their Swamp Jelly from the Daily Quests, and they My Little Pumpkin Netch was floating next to it, and they were like staring each other down, and it looked like they were like doing some sort of courting dance, because the one netch dips and the swamp jelly does its little lightning effect. It's got a little like static charge sort of thing going on to it. I don't know if that's the right word for it, but it's an interesting looking thing. I like it. Overall, very cool. I mean, I could see why people want to get them. I don't want to do those daily quests, though, to do it. They sound very tedious to me, but that's just a personal quirk.
Yeah, it's a thing. It's off the top of my head, there's one where you go out and you're killing a few mammoths to collect meat. There's one where you go out and you're getting the approval of a priest, or priestess, sorry, who will, priestess of kine, who will give you weather forecasts. So that sounds exciting, doesn't it? There's one where you're recruiting new people in by going to the various taverns across the across Tamriel and doing a little dance routine.
Oh my god.
So they're certainly worth running at least once. There's also some really nice stuff squirreled away. We were talking about the furnishings earlier. There's some nice furnishings squirreled away in the reward caches for those. So that's a nice thing.
Yeah, I've been really lucky.
There are reasons to do it, yeah.
Guildies have been sending a lot of that furniture to me. Like they're like I'm guessing that means that they're getting it to the point of saturation. They're like, please, I can't handle any more of this. So they've been sending me like there's little shrines of Sithis and stuff like that that come out of there.
Yeah.
Argonian bowls.
Mm-hmm.
So I
they're cool.
Yeah, they are. What else do we got coming here? So new area that is with Merkmire, that is the whole, the zone, coast, mountains, and a transition area is what you wrote here in the notes. From what we, there's some new plant types in there. So when you're actually, and when I say plant types, I mean lootable plants. So, in one of Zoss's streams, they said that the world is against you here. Like the actual Merkmire kind of rises up against you while you're there. And when you're traveling around, you see plants that you want to harvest, you actually need to kind of sneak up to them and disable these plants before you loot them. Because there's things like a one that launches stuff at you. There's like a lightning plant, one that has like some sort of spike that it impales you with, and all kinds of stuff. So kind of cool different concepts that I don't think we've seen before in any other zones across Tamriel.
There isn't anywhere else aside from Shadowfen that gets into Black Marsh. And of course, this is kind of part of the lore for Black Marsh. It's a very unforgiving, very dangerous area of Tamriel. So you don't really want to travel there lightly.
Interesting. I don't know. Ah, man, I'm excited to get into the lore of this zone and learn more about the Argonians. I might even have to roll one.
You thought the Argonians only had a poison resistance because they had a bad habit of drinking too many poisons? Potions? Nope. Nope, it's from there where they're from.
No comment on Argonians. I'm just kidding. I love you, Argonians. I would roll you in a minute. Sorry.
But yeah, Black Marsh is supposed to be a very dangerous zone, and there's diseases, there's toxic plants, there's toxic animals, there's things that want to kill and eat you. Some of them are plants. It's not a nice place to be in the lore, and the Argonians are absolutely happy with that because it keeps them, for the most part, independent of everyone else. But yeah, so we'll be getting to go there and experience this personally. And there's some really nasty enemies scattered around in there.
Yeah, as an Imperial lover, I'm excited to see all the failed Imperial attempts at incursions into the area, because I guess we're going to be going through a lot of like sunken towns and things, like towns that have like kind of succumbed to the marsh. They're sinking in at ground level. And we kind of saw some of those on that live stream and some other previews. So I'm really excited to get in there and see what remnants of that lore exist and go through it that way. So we kind of talked about this. I mentioned this a little bit earlier in conjunction with the Witches Festival. We're looking at two new world bosses there, two new delves, and one new arena. The arena being called Black Rose Prison. And to summarize this, which it's supposed to be shorter than the previous arenas with 5 rounds. It's kind of a hybrid of Maelstrom and Dragonstar Arena. What's that quote there, Stark?
That's from Finn. It's like Finn's description of it is if Maelstrom and Dragonstar had a baby.
Which we are going to talk about. Some people in Twitch chat had a request that we do a dive into arenas at some point and explain them. I had a failed attempt at one on Friday night, so I'm gonna get it back in there. Not get knocked down. Gonna go back into the arenas. We did Dragonstar, for example, and gonna try that again. Gonna try my hand at Maelstrom. And then we'll do a dive in how arenas work, what's some strategies for it, and just some tips. That'll be coming up probably, I would say, sometime in November. We'll get into that. Within Black Rose Prison, there's also a new skin and a new die you can get from completing it on Vet. So that's kind of something cool to look forward to, I'm sure. Do we know what that skin is yet?
Yeah, we do. It's a it's actually been previewed online. Oh. And it's the sort of lizard skin looking thing.
Oh, okay. I've seen that. That is cool looking. Yeah.
I'm drawing a blank on the name right now, unfortunately. I didn't write it down, so
you're fine. Remember.
But yeah, it's a lizard skin. It will make your character look sort of reptilian, even if you're not Nergonian.
I'm really excited to do that someday. I will probably get my butt kicked many times before then. Let's see. Oh, it also includes a new ability, altering weapons. What do you want to talk about that for a sec, Stark?
Okay, so this is actually something from Arenas and also One Trial, because Veteran Asylum Sanctorum, or actually not even Veteran Asylum, just Asylum Sanctorum in general, have what are called ability altering weapons. And these are weapons that will change the way one of your skills in your weapon skill line works. For example, the Asylum Greatsword will generate ultimate whenever you use Executioner. Reverse slash, either morph of reverse slash. Another example is that the Maelstrom Bow, when you use Endless Hail or I forget what the other Barrage morph is, will actually deal additional damage.
Oh.
So it'll modify various abilities as you go. Another one, Sword and Board for Master, for the Master Sword and Board that you get out of Dragonstar Arena, gives you a heal, and I think it increases the damage when you use the basic taunt attack for sword and board. So what it'll do is it'll pick a specific weapon skill, and then it'll modify it. And as they've been added to the game, they've been going down the list. So starting at the top and then just going down further down the list, except they're going down the original order of these skills. So in some cases, like the Greatsword, these have actually been moved around considerably. The two-hander used to be in a different order. The bow used to be in a different order. So when they rearranged these skills, the ability altering weapons already existed, and they're still following the original pattern for those. So it's a little bit weird. You can't look at it and go, oh yeah, no, they're just going straight down the list now because the order is different, but there is a pattern to this. And so this is the fourth one. So at this point, we've got two more to go. We've got the one that will modify the ultimates, and we got the one that will also modify the last abilities on the tree, the original last abilities on the tree.
Ooh, sweet. Sounds like fun to me.
It'll be cool.
Let's see. We also are going to get within this a new motif, and that is within Merkmire as a whole. That is the Deadwater motif, which you can actually see pictures of online. That came out, I think it was in the Crown Store showcase. Is that right? Where you can see this?
Yeah, it was. There's a couple other motifs, but they're not announced as craftable yet, that are scattered around in the zone. Can't remember the names for any of them, but there's one attached to Black. Oh, I can't remember the name for one of them. The one attached to Black Rose Prison Honor Guard is Honor Guard. It actually has a name, which is a little unusual, and it's the one that appears on the ability altering weapons, but there's a full armor motif that goes with it. That's new. We did not have that with any of the previous ability altering weapon sets. So that'll probably be available at some source in the future. I'm going to guess it's going to be coming out of Black Rose Prison, but no solid information yet, so that's just speculation.
Yeah, I'm looking at that picture of the motif I just mentioned, the Deadwater one. That is a really cool one. It looks like an Argonian gladiator style. It's very neat.
All three of the new motifs I've seen out of this have looked really good. So yeah,
very scaly. Let's see, what else are we looking at? So three new craftable sets, three new overland sets. What do you know of those, Stark?
I've got the list for them somewhere around here. The short version is all zones have three overland sets that will drop, so that's not really a surprise. And in this case, here we go. So we've got a light armor set that will have bonus to your max magic and magic recovery while you have a drink buff active. Ooh. That's something that's similar to, there's a similar version of this for Stam with the Pirate Bones set in Blackheart Haven. I just screwed up the name of that, I'm pretty sure. But you can already get a version of this for Stan, but now you're going to have a Magicka version. And this is useful because, like you said, you just used the Witch Mother's Potent Brew on one of your characters.
Yeah.
That will actually count as a drink, and then you'll get the bonuses for this. The medium armor one is when an enemy dies within 2 seconds of being damaged by you, you gain ultimate. So that's going to be nice in heavy ultimate generation builds. And then the heavy armor set is going to be gain minor heroism at all times when you're in combat, generating 1 ultimate every 1.5 seconds. I've got mixed feelings about this because I'm pretty sure this already existed as Shulk's exoskeleton. So that's a little strange.
Can I take 1 second and defend myself? I looked up the Witch Mother's Potent Brew on PCNA. It is only going for 89 gold. So no harm, no foul. Literally pennies. Okay. Continue. Yeah.
Okay, so the crafted sets, we've got Gravestake Collector, which enemies you've damaged have a 10% chance to drop a Gravestake. This is actually an item in the world. For 6 seconds after they've died, touching the stake restores stamina and magicka, and only one Gravestake can appear at a time. This might actually be useful, but it's a little weird. It's also set up as a tri-stat set, so it increases magicka, stamina, and health, so it's not really focused on one thing or another. There's probably uses for it, but it's going to be a little bit weird. There's also the Naga Shaman set. When you cast a damage shield ability, you gain minor mending and minor vitality for 6 seconds. Increasing your health, healing, and healing done and healing received by 8% can occur every 6 seconds. So this is going to be an interesting. I think this is actually the first time we've had a crafted set for healers that looks appealing. I don't know if it's going to really compete for top slots, but it could be useful, and certainly in certain situations. I want to say the Templars are going to be kind of get less value out of this, but there are a number of ways you could cast damage shield abilities on others. The weird thing about this is a lot of the damage shield spamming you're going to see usually will be coming off of the player onto themselves, and unless your healer is planning on using something like annulment and then following up with something else, it just seems a little odd for that. Still, probably a pretty useful set for healers, especially if you're using any shield that will pop over onto other players. And then the last one is Might of the Lost Legion, which is after successfully blocking, gain 3 uses of Empower, increasing damage to your next light attack by 40%. This is another one. Oh, this is actually this is another one where it's a split set. So it's increasing max magicka, max stamina, and then weapon damage and spell damage. I think it's actually useful for somebody who's doing weaves, but it's another set where I'm not really excited about it.
So overall, a little bit iffy on these sets, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Some of them, yeah.
I guess we'll have to see how they play out once we get our hands on them and people start testing them to a large degree.
The only one that actually really catches my attention immediately and says, oh wait, this has some serious application, is the light armor set, Blightthroat's Boast from Overland. The other stuff is all potentially useful in certain circumstances, and I'm pretty sure there's ways to make a lot of these make most of these very useful, but offhand they're not really exciting at a glance.
Well, let's change gears for a second and talk about something that is exciting to housing people. Hello, that's what I'm talking about, transition there. Music boxes are coming in soon to the game. And you may have seen these, or you could look up videos of them currently. There have been 2 different versions. One is purely in a data mine state, so, and that one looks like a Cold Harbor sort of music box. We have no other details than that. The primary one looks to be more Breton style with the Ouroboros on it, and it is currently playing the song Blood and Glory. So the downside of these music boxes is we don't know how exactly you pick them up. Like we're assuming it's a Crown Store item is how it's been shown so far. But the downside here is that it's a singular item. So unlike when you get a merchant or a banker and you can put them in multiple houses, you're looking at a music box being a singular item. So it's only going to be placed in one house. So if you're paying for that item in the Crown Store, we don't have a price tag for it yet. So if it's pricey, it might be something that's hard to get in all your homes. In addition to playing the song Blood and Glory in a music box rendition, it is a local sound effect. So it is not like a whole house sound. You know, some people were thinking maybe we would go to a house, like a whole lot that is the house, and you'd hear, maybe it changes the whole ambient music or the music that's going on. In this case, no, it's going to function more like a proximity sort of thing, where if you go up to a bard in the game, you're hearing the bard play music, but the further you get away, the more distant the sound's going to get. So overall, something I like. It's not, when I see it and get my hands on it, put in the house, I'll have more feedback on it, I'm sure. But if this is going to be something that's implemented larger, like, I would like to see this as maybe achievement items that could be gained throughout the game. I was just saying to Sark prior to the show, if these would be achievement items whenever you complete like a DLC or complete a zone, complete all the quests there, something like that, that'd be, in my opinion, one of the coolest ways to get a hold of these music boxes, kind of as a little keepsake of like what you did while you were there.
Yeah, the thing I kind of wonder with these is if they're going to be used as events, like as additional payouts during events. So you might see that during the anniversary where it's like you collect Runebox pieces and the end result is a music box. But as it is, I'm a little torn. I'm not incredibly excited about it because, first of all, it's not actually the original song either. It's a comb and pin recreation of the song, which is cool, but it's not the original orchestral. And there's a few songs in this I would absolutely love to be able to play the original orchestral versions of in game somewhere, and that's not an option with these, unfortunately.
Here, we can actually take a second. I forgot I could just do this and play a little bit of this music box. Hold on one sec. So it's, Stark can't hear it, but it's playing a little bit of it right now, so it's very... There you go. Now you can hear it, Stark. But yeah, it's like you said, not the original. I wouldn't mind collecting these as rune box items in the future. Maybe more so than pets. I would actually be interested in doing this. I would just find value of having them. Even if I don't love the song, it would be a cool item.
Well, yeah, and I actually do like this rendition of it, mm-hmm. too. I mean, this is... made it sound like it's just a net negative of, oh yeah, it's not the original version, because it's not, and that's unfortunate. But this is actually a really cool rendition.
Yeah.
When I was originally testing this thing on the PTS, I got this thing playing and didn't realize I couldn't turn it off while I was wandering around looking at the new Christmas house that was data mined.
Oh,
the
really?
Snow globe. And it really fits for the sort of Christmas theme too. Like, I don't know, that could be some personal preference thing, but that sort of comb and pin style of music really fit and was really great for that zone. And it's like, okay, well, this is really cool. But yeah, it's something that's really neat at some levels and then also a little disappointing at others. So it's kind of like, measure your expectations.
Yeah, I guess the real question for me will be what price tag comes with that. Like you're saying, yeah. If it's an event item that I can work for, have fun with friends while, or, you know, do whatever while I'm working towards it, is an in-game item at some point, I would be very interested in that. As a holiday reward sort of thing, I'm in. As something that could, I'm speculating, get a $25 price tag on it. Is that worth $25?
If it was a gem item, like if this goes in the crown, these go in the crown crates and it's like a 16 gem item, like, okay, I'd be happy pulling one of those.
Yeah. For 16 gems, for sure. You're right. Yes, definitely. I just don't know. So it'll be one of those things exactly. To look at and see into over time. And the other thing is, you know, if you're part of a group of people that already have the, like if you or in a guild, for example, and you know someone that's getting it, big suggestion to go check it out in their house once they do it. You know, see it in person before you splurge, because it seems cool, but maybe not the most impressive item in the whole entirety of ESO. While we're talking about music boxes and, you know, all of this, we thought it'd be a good time to talk about about ESO Plus and maybe get into a little bit of the Crown Store if we have time to go deeper. So, because with Merkmire and with this update that's coming along with, we're getting changes to ESO Plus. For those that don't already know how that system works, if you subscribe to ESO Plus, which currently costs $15 US per month, it's a non-mandatory subscription to the game, and opting into that subscription gets your account. You will get double bag and bank space. You'll get a crafting bag that can hold an unlimited amount of crafting supplies. That would be like the logs that you're picking up when you're, you know, going through the game, the runes, your you know, your plant materials that you pick up. You also gain an experience, gold, and inspiration bonus. You get access to all of the DLC game packs, double furniture space in your houses, an exclusive ability to dye costumes, and I think most impressive to both Stark and I is that for that $15 US a month that you're paying, you are getting 1,500 crowns per month. So that is the equivalent to buying. So if you buy $15 worth of crowns, that is the same amount that you get. So you actually get your subscription back in full with all those other bonuses. You get it back in full in crowns.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah, not many games do that kind of thing. You were kind of mentioning some earlier, Stark, that fell under that bar.
Every other game I've seen that has this sort of pays back the cash shop currency as a stipend for subscribers, every single one, it's been either $5 or $10. And you're also spending $15 a month. Yeah.
Keep in mind, games like World of Warcraft, mandatory 15, and you get nothing in return.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Privilege of playing the game. So if you know you're wondering, 15 for WoW or 15 for ESO? Well, you can do the ESO thing anytime you want. Do ESO Plus and cancel it. By the way, that's something I feel like I should shout out quickly. I didn't have this in the notes, but if you decide, I'll hear some people say, I really want to buy a non-collector's edition DLC pack, and the DLC will cost 20-ish USD. I don't recommend purchasing it. That's my take. I mean, you can analyze this however you want, and some people just like to own things. But if you're an ESO Plus member, you get access to all that DLC. And if you decide to unsubscribe next month because you will be traveling and can't play or whatever your reason, you can unsubscribe from ESO Plus that month, and you don't lose your progress. You don't lose the items in your crafting bag. You don't lose any of that. The most noticeable thing would be like that you'll log in one day and your bag space, you'll have a lot more items in your bag in your bank than you can now hold without ESO Plus.
Yeah, it's not even your bag, it's your bank specifically. Like, you'll notice your bank that you can't put anything else into it.
Yeah.
And the other thing, and I know this because I accidentally let it lapse once. The other thing you'll notice is if you start refining, you'll very quickly run out of inventory space and be like, wait, what happened?
Oh, right, because all your items. That craft bag, by the way, for those that don't know, whenever you pick up materials that are used for crafting, there's a setting. You can change the setting. But it automatically moves all your crafting supplies into the craft bag so that your main inventory stays clean and pure. You're right, Stark. Yeah, I let that lapse once, too, and noticed. I went to my bank. I noticed mine going to the bank, and I was like, what? What's going on here? So anyway, I personally think it's just a better idea to subscribe to ESO Plus than to pick up, for example, piecemeal by Dark Brotherhood, by Thieves Guild, by this, that, and the other, because those cost more than ESO Plus, and honestly, you can complete those DLC packs in a month if you're a daily player, even for just a couple hours, and you chip away at it. I mean, honestly, most of those things take probably just a week to complete, maybe two, if you know, whatever. So I don't know, just weigh the options there. But here's some changes that are coming to it. Those are the current bonuses.
Yeah.
When we get the change, we just told you that you're getting, right now, it's 15 USD and you get 1,500 crowns, an equal exchange. Well, now they're upping that. So actually, going away from what Stark said of other games, now ESO is incentivizing it by saying, hey, you're actually going to get 1,650 crowns per month while you're still paying 15. So you're actually getting more. To break this down to dollars, and this isn't exact science here, but that's kind of like getting $1.50 back extra. It's like, hey, thanks for subscribing. Here's $1.50 extra of our in-game money for you to spend. So that's really cool, and we'll add up throughout the year. I mean, 12 times 150, you know, it makes a difference. You can purchase furnishing items with that money. So there you go.
Yeah, I was actually sitting here earlier and crunching the numbers. So there is a fairly standard system with microtransaction currencies where if you buy larger bundles, you get it more cheaply. Mm-hmm. And the default is kind of, you know, 1 crown to the cent. This will put it at 0.9 cents to the crown, and that lands it between the $15 and the $25 mark in the values, because the $25 mark, you can get 3,000 for 25, and at that point you're getting them for about 0.83 cents per crown. But yeah, it's it's really nuts that it's going to have a better conversion rate than simply going out and buying a $15 crown pack.
Yeah. And I just did, I did the simple math here. So, 12 multiplied by 150, which is, the amount of extra crowns you're going to get, that's 1,800 extra crowns per year. And to put that into perspective, that usually if they add a pet to the store, those cost about 1,000 crowns, I believe, for the most part. So look at that. You're getting a free pet, you're getting a free whatever it is. Sometimes those, I think right now, like there's all those masks on the store that are all about 1,000 crowns. So, you're getting, that's actually pretty nice. I mean, if you're already paying for ESO Plus, that is an extra item a year that you're just not doing anything financially to get.
No, it's free. Well, that's not free, but it's a bonus on top of what you're doing anyway.
Exactly.
And if you're going to be going out there and buying the $15 packs, if that's an appealing thing, then this is actually going to be a better way to spend that money because you'll get that and more back.
Speaking of free, though, we are getting things for free now, Stark. Surprise! Exclusive free items to ESO Plus members. The first one that we know about is going to be the Priestess of Mara costume, which actually looks pretty cool. I mean, they take some very nice photos here when they do this. You could look it up online. It's a very nice looking outfit. So, and to get it for free is all the cooler, especially because it sounds like this is going to be a monthly thing.
I think that's the impression I got.
So maybe a new free item every month, which would be cool. I mean, again, it's something that we didn't get as of October or as of September. So, going forward, it's just further incentivization to go with ESO Plus. Go ahead. Were you going to say something, Stark?
Yeah, I have seen this before. I've seen free items before in MMOs. So this isn't completely unprecedented where it's like, oh, hey, you're a subscriber. Here, have some goodies. And it's still a really nice thing to have, especially given this is still high quality stuff. But in combination with the stipend is just nuts. It's great.
Oh, well, do you wanna spend those new crowns of yours in some kind of deal, Stark? Because guess what? Exclusive crown store deals are coming, so you'll be able to acquire some select crown store items at a special discounted price. These discounted items will be in the crown store with gold text and a chalice icon. Did I sell it well?
I have no idea. So here's the thing with this. It's a little bit interesting. When this was on the PTS and we could test it, the PTS doesn't handle crowns the same way the real game does, somewhat obviously. You've got a fixed amount that resets every 24 hours. I think it's actually at 6 a.m. GMT that it resets. And so you'll always have roughly 5,500 crowns in that account on the PTS. And as a result, everything that's on the PTS costs one crown. And the items that were marked, they were testing the discount on, had been pre-marked to 2 crowns and then discounted back down to the previous one. We don't know how much the discounts are going to be. So if you're wanting to get into a deep dive of, is it really worth it to subscribe to get access to reduced cost on stuff? I have no idea. None of us do. The setup on the PTS was a 50% discount, which if that's the case, if it ends up being something like that, if it's like you, even if it's just less than that, if you're looking at something like, oh, hey, the banker is discounted by 20 or 30%, then it might actually just straight up be worth it to subscribe to buy it. But again, we don't have the hard numbers on this to say how good is this really going to be. But if you're already subscribing and you see stuff that's there that you want, it's going to be it's a nice bonus. It's going to be a nice bonus to be able to say, okay, well, I can get this for less. I get the feeling with this that it's going to be, so they're saying select, the demos they gave on the PTS were an existing mount and some existing costumes, but cosmetic stuff. And the, also the mimic stones, which are a crafting item you can use to produce items in any style you know how to make without having to go through all the extra steps of obtaining the style stones for that material, for that motif. So those can be convenient, and those were showing up at a discounted price, except that might actually have been the next thing on the list here, the exclusive crown store items. So it's possible that was actually demonstrating an exclusive crown store pack for mimic stones that was a better deal than you would get as a non-subscriber. And again, in that case, it was something where it was listed up at 1 crown each, and that's not going to reflect what's going to be on live.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah, so exclusive Crown Store items are coming, and that, this one's actually has the potential for backfiring, I fear. This is, like, out of all of them, this is the one that I could see getting some real backlash, potentially. Depending what the items are, depending the quality of these items. Now, I don't think, I'm not, by the way, I'm not saying I think this is some sort of pay-to-win sort of thing, but I'm not saying that at all. That's not their style. But I don't know, you know... I could see people getting a little salty saying, okay, well, I'm already, you know, paying for some of these items. Now you're saying I have to subscribe to ESO Plus, then pay for an item?
Yeah. No, I can understand that. And as I recall, what was in the test for that was actually a unique skin for the mid-sized cat mount. They're not cat, not the mount. I'm sorry, the mid-sized cat pet. So, like, the smaller... large cats, but not the infant, you know, like the juvenile looking ones. Okay. And I think it was actually a white tiger that was, you know, basically lapdog sized. So yeah, it's a little bit, it could be a little bit strange. And if what they're doing with this is going to be alternate skins for pets and mounts, then that's probably just going to be fine. That's going to be that's what we've already seen. And also if it's exclusive packs, like the Mimic Stones, you can already buy those. It's just you can buy them in a different denomination at a different price. Then that's also probably not going to be a problem at all. It could be something, I've certainly seen it in the past, it could be something that could end up going horribly wrong. But I think for the most part, ZOS has done a really good job of avoiding those kinds of pitfalls.
Yeah, and I would emphasize taking a deep breath here, because assuming it is just what Stark said, it is different skins on something. If you need to have it, I know it's real life money, but again, you can always subscribe for a month and then unsubscribe after you've purchased your pet, you know, or whatever that exclusive item is. Also keeping in mind that, you know, as soon as you subscribe for that month, you're getting 1,650 crowns to go spend on whatever that thing is. So you know, we will definitely see how this goes. I like you're saying, I think that they will do this correctly, but well, time will tell. I personally, as a full-time ESO Plus subscriber, I'm not worried at all, so there you go. In fact, I'm looking forward to see what we get.
Yeah, it's so, this is the thing, if you're playing the game and you're looking at the Crown Store and you're buying, well, if you're paying for a subscription and you're a regular player, then this is just going to be, okay, here's some extra stuff that's going to be coming through. It's going to make things a little bit more complicated to keep track of what's coming up in the Crown Store each month, especially if you're somebody who plans ahead and is careful with your finances when it comes to the game. And that's probably a good thing. It's probably better than either of us. But if you're looking at this and going, well, now they're going to wall stuff off, it is kind of important to remember that if you were planning to buy it with a $15 pack to begin with, you can buy your subscription with that $15 pack and then immediately have access to it. So it's going to add a new wrinkle to this. And I'm also not sure how it's going to look for somebody who doesn't have an ESO Plus sub. I'm going to get the chance to see that tomorrow on a alt login. And then we'll have an idea of what it'll look like for people. So there's a certain element of this where it's like we're having to make a guess, or best educated guess, on the information we have.
Yeah.
We don't have full information.
Speaking of, just for a brief thing here, talking about how things might look, they are doing a UI improvement to the way that ESO Plus is displayed within the Crown Store. So it's a better interface. I, as a streamer, I'm excited for it, because sometimes we'll get people to come through and ask, is ESO Plus really worth it? In my opinion, hardcore, yes. But I also like to pull up the store and kind of show them. The current list is a little lackluster. It's very text-based, which doesn't really appeal that well on stream. And so this one's a little more icon based. It just looks a little bit more fun to show off. And I always like to go by, you know, the quick points that we called out here on the podcast, you know, hey, experience, crafting bag, double space, da da da. And so this is going to make it a little bit nicer, a little bit more easy to show. So I don't know. We'll see what comes of that. Talking Crown Store here for a second. Since we're already into this and we're getting, we only have about 15 minutes of the show here. I guess maybe we save the Crown Store as a whole for the future. I don't know if there's questions people necessarily have for us. I've personally never, have you experienced anyone asking questions as to how the Crown Store works, Dark?
I think at this point it's pretty straightforward. The thing I've seen most people worried about with the Crown Store is actually concerns about pay to win. And it's certainly a valid fear, because I've seen that in enough MMOs. In the case of ESO, it's not an accusation that I really put a lot of weight behind. And we could do a whole discussion just on MMOs and pay to win in general, because that's a huge topic. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing is there's a consistent theme here with ESO, where the Crown Store is, it's either cosmetic. So all of the stuff we're talking about that we've seen as preview items is cosmetic functionality. It's not you get more powerful. It's you get to make your character look the way you want. This is even true of the when we're talking about the Mimic Stones, because the Mimic Stones, they let you change what the armor will look like when you craft it, but it doesn't let you make armor that you couldn't otherwise make. It doesn't let you access elements you couldn't get. You can't even sell the things to other players. The only back road around that is, in some cases, you can decon it for and roll the dice and hope you get a valuable style stone that you just crafted with. But you already need to know that motif to begin with. So it's like, it's possible, but it's not likely. And even then, you're trying to do this for very little money. So they've managed to step around that. The two things that do come up that are legitimate fears, the Warden is paywalled and the Imperial Race is paywalled. And in both of those cases, I can honestly say from years of experience, they're not pay to win in any meaningful sense. But I can certainly understand where somebody looks at it and goes, well, those are neither convenience, because they're not speeding anything up. Because you get stuff like the research scrolls where you can research things faster. And I actually crunched the numbers recently. For clothier and blacksmithing, you're looking at 10 months to research the last two traits.
Wow.
So you can cut a whole month off of that for money. Okay, cool. That's great. But that's just, there's already people who have full 9 trait without ever touching a research scroll. In fact, I have full 9 trait on everything without ever touching a research scroll. And so what you're doing is you're paying to try to catch up with people who've been here longer. Same thing with maxed mounts. Again, I've got 15 characters with maxed mounts, and I've never used a mount training book on that account at all, because I'll pay the 250 gold a day. It's not a problem. I'm not in a huge rush on new alts to get them and run around with them. I've still got a bunch of characters to work with. So that's all convenience. The Warden is a bunch of gameplay options you don't have as a non-Warden, but it's not more powerful than the other classes. And the same thing is true of the Imperial. It does a few things very well. I think we mentioned this when we were talking about the races to begin with. It's a very good tank choice. Mm-hmm. It's not, in theory, the best possible tank choice. And it's probably not, in theory, I know it's not, in theory, the best Stam DPS class choice, because the Red Guard's going to win that every time. But it's a nice choice. It's a nice option. It's not exactly cosmetic.
Right.
You are. And in both of the cases, like, okay, well, this is like, they're really cool. They're there. They are paywalled. I can understand somebody being worried about it, especially when you've got, with the Imperials and with the Wardens, you've got a lot of people who are really big fans of them. Like, I love the Imperials a lot, and I've got 5 Imperials on my account. Okay. Where it's like, I just keep rolling them up. But it isn't actually pay to win.
Yeah. And that's a big difference. I mean, I think sometimes you're right. I think we do live in this culture where, I mean, I'm not to throw too much crap, but I think Black Desert Online, and I'm not a player of that game, but that they, from all the news articles that I've seen the headlines of and not fully delved into, I never played it, don't really care that much, but that went heavy pay to win recently.
It started out. Okay, this is a little bit complicated. It started out with a slight pay to win and a sort of unusual element, because it started with utility pay to win that you don't actually see very often. It's a game where it's an open world MMO. It's got forced PvP once you hit level 50.
Okay.
And one of the ways you track players is you're looking for their nameplates.
Oh. Okay.
There was a cosmetic item called the Ghillie Suit that was available when the store was first introduced on the North American build.
Oh my.
That would let you suppress, when you were wearing it, it would suppress your nameplate. So you could still be seen, you were still visible, but if somebody's relying on seeing your nameplate to track you, they couldn't see you.
I get what you're saying. Okay, technically, but no, that's...
Yeah, it's bonkers, isn't it? Because it's not pay to win, because you're not getting statistical advantages. It's not like, oh God, all those Nexon games. You remember those? Where it's like, hey, look, pay to rent a weapon for the next 30 days that has stats that are just across the board better than anything you can get on your own, or pay a ton to buy it long term. Like, yeah, there's that kind of pay to win where it's just like, okay, let's just throw huge stats at the player. But then there's like Black Desert had a really insidious one or up front. And I want to say they walked that back. I want to say that the ghillie suit was changed to being strictly cosmetic initially, but yeah. I'm not surprised that we're out here and they're getting hit for that again.
And I think the important thing to note, though, I mean, this is okay. So that with that being said, with that being the context around pay to win styles that you can, you know, hear of out in the real world, locking a warden behind a paywall or the Imperial behind a paywall, that you're right. That is not pay to win. That is. I mean, you can easily look at those two as just being expansion packs themselves, you know, that other games do that all the time. I mean, I know not everyone is going to love that. It would be great, you know, if they were just totally free. But
we've seen this actually. We've seen a very similar version of this in a game we've both played, which is Star Trek Online, where you'd see the new tier six ships. And it's like, this is a completely upgraded version of the ships are basically your class in that game. It's a completely upgraded version of the one you can get for free.
Yeah.
It's got higher stats. It has extra skill slots, you know, extra bridge officer stations. It has an additional console slot because that's balanced. Right. And it's nuts. It is. You're actually paying for more power at that point, which is not true with the Warden or with the Imperial. They're both very attractive options for specific play styles, but they're not really the one choice. It's not like, oh, hey, you just have straight up better stats across the board as an Imperial. You do have higher stats as an Imperial on two stats, but you pay for that by not getting any recovery bonuses, which all the other races get. So it's like, the max is, it is actually a balanced change. It's not a, oh, hey, yeah, just straight up, let's make them better. And I do appreciate that. I like that a lot.
I agree. I think they're fine. There are also things to keep in mind, you guys. You do not, if you're very new to ESO, you don't need to jump into either of those two things right away. In fact, I didn't.
The other thing that's also not, the other thing with ESO, I think we've mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again right now. The mounts you see in there are strictly cosmetic, and will get a free mount the first time you get a character to level 10. So if you're sitting there going, but mounts. No, you can absolutely get those. You will get one for free. The entire point behind mounts beyond that free brown horse is I want to look cool.
Yep.
And that's legitimate. I want to look cool, but looking cool won't make you more effective and it won't win you the game. It's nice. It's cool. It's fun to have, but it's not going to be a situation where it's like somebody else has a better mount. Somebody spent a lot of money in the crown store to get the mount they're using, and that makes them better than you. It doesn't. It probably means they may have spent an obscene amount of money on training books, or they've been playing the game for a while and been dutifully upgrading their mount, upgrading their mount training each day. But yeah, that's stuff that you can do without having to spend any money on it. And this is... Also, going through this, having just talked about ESO Plus and talked it up, the game is entirely playable without ESO Plus.
Correct.
It's not like, oh, hey, you bought the game, but now you can't actually play or compete with anybody because you don't have this. No, you can absolutely run into endgame content and goop and pretty much everything you'd want to without spending real money on the game. It's just there's things that make it more convenient. There's stuff that you can not have to deal with. One of the classic examples of that that we just mentioned is the crafting bag because, oh, hey, I just want to grab all the crafting mats around here and not worry about this in my inventory at all, as opposed to I'm going to manage my inventory and keep track of what I'm actually using and get rid of the rest.
Yeah. Tying this back around to the start, you know, you're getting Mark Meyer for free in November as part of a daily login reward. So... You know, they are making these things accessible to people. We also have to remember why they have to incentivize stuff, because ESO does a really good job of not making a lot of payments mandatory. I mean, it's an optional subscription. Buying Somerset is an optional upgrade. You know, really, you can get into this game, depending on the sales, you can get into ESO for $10. Okay, well, they released new content and deep content, a whole, you know, we're getting a whole new thing that we've talked about this whole episode. that those come out about, you know, we get something akin to that every 3 months. We just had Wolf Hunter with two new dungeons in it. We just got, you know, it's a constant release cycle. So I don't know. I would say if anyone's kind of upset with this in their own way, I would recommend taking a look at other games and seeing how little bang for your buck you get over there compared to ESO with a $10 entry fee that gives you a, let me say, it's probably the most entertainment you'll get for $10, I think, ever. I don't know what else in life you can buy for 10 bucks that will give you this much fun for as long as it lasts. So I don't know. Enjoy what it is. We're kind of running out of time. So last thing to say with Merkmire is there are going to be some changes to Cyrodiil. So for you PvP players out there, you might want to go look this up. If you're a hardcore PvPer, you probably already know. But with changes to Cyrodiil and Merkmire, you're getting the destruction of bridges and mile gates, as well as some new outposts being added in there. And hopefully, Stark, if my ear is to the whatever, to the community, hopefully some bug fixes, because people get angry with the Cyrodiil bugs.
Yeah, I think there were some that were slated, but I'm not sure. There have been a few other changes that are a little bit significant in their own ways. One of them is that the slaughterfish are now going to be even hungrier. They're going to do double the damage they used to. So if you had this cunning plan to sneak across the rivers as an Argonian with speed pots on, that just went up in smoke, or, you know, more accurately, was devoured by very angry fish.
I love fish. Fish are great. So, don't do that. Don't go in the water. Poor Cyrodiil. It's the unfriendliest water in all of Tamriel.
Pretty much. Well, I'm still paranoid. There's places where I know the water is safe and I just don't want to touch it. It's like, nope, I don't trust it.
Well, especially after this, because who knows what areas they may have added some to.
That's true.
Ooh.
Staying out of Chaidenhall.
I'm happy with this recap of Merkmire and the Crown Store. Anything you wanted to add to it, Stark?
No, I think we're in a good state.
So in some upcoming episodes, we talked about this throughout the show, we're going to be looking at arenas. We're going to be looking at housing. And when we talk about housing, we're going to be doing kind of a broad strokes overview. How do you get into the housing for the first time? What are some just different techniques to doing things? Are there some add-ons that we recommend, et cetera, et cetera? Luxury vendor, all kinds of things just in broad strokes so that you can get set up and figure out how you want to proceed with it. It's totally an optional thing to do, but for some people, it's very much their end game. We've been taking advantage. Ooh, I should give a... I don't know the person's name. Oh, no. Maybe I do. Hold on. I should really do this shout out here. I do have the name. Great. So we got the Sijic Grand Villa, and our guild turned it into kind of more traditional guild hall with crafting tables, and we were gifted a transmutation station. So shout out to Berserk Zod on Twitch, who hooked me up. His friend, Bloody Mess 1985, actually went out and farmed all the materials to create that transmutation station for us, which is very nice, because I don't know Bloody Mess. So that was a super huge donation. For those that don't know, that transmutation station sells for about 1,000,000 gold, so it's not something to scoff at for a fairly new player like me.
Yeah, it's 1,250 vouchers. Wow. I bought one a couple of weeks ago. They're for Michi. They're actually really expensive.
So huge shout out to Berserk Zod and Bloody Mess 1985. Very kind of them to do that. So I appreciate you guys. I hope everyone else is enjoying their Sijic Villa. I think it's been doing a great job in getting people into housing, which is something that I like to hear. I think it's a great endgame thing. We'll talk about that in detail. You're going to be able to collect a bunch of housing items through Merkmire, did we even mention this? I may have skipped this. There is a new house coming with Merkmire too. We don't know the exact release date of that house, but it's really cool. It's got this actual, you go into it, and I think the biggest selling point is when you go into the house, there's a aquarium, like big aquarium. It's kind of like water being held back by some magical walls,
walls. It's the water around those Anmir. They're the sort of Argonian ziggurats, but yeah, so you go down there and you get the supervillain lair where you can look out into the lake around your house. It's great.
Part of me wants to make it like Dark Brotherhood House Part 2, like kind of, I mean, they have a big tie to the Dark Brotherhood, right? Well, with Sithis, I should say, the Argonians.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, the Argonians do.
There's that old sanctuary there, spoiler alert, for some of you travel there in Dark Brotherhood. Anyway, point is, that might make a cool house. I might have to splurge some money on that someday. Well, Stark, I think this has been good. I hope people will walk away feeling excited for Merkmeyer. They will probably be listening to this while going into Merkmeyer. If you guys have any questions for us, you can send an email, kyledempsterstudios@gmail.com. I don't shout that out as much as I should. I'm on Twitter over at twitter.com/kyledempsterstudios. Oh, Kyle Dempster Stu, S-T-U. Forget that that's not a big enough name. Stark, what are you at over on Twitter?
Michael J. Schwartz.
There you go. You can follow Stark and I. I usually tag him in all of our posts about the show. That's all in the description below as well for your show notes. You can find all the links to that. I'm over on Twitch at twitch.tv/Kyle Dempster Studios. That is the full thing. Stark is usually there in chat, hanging out and screming confusedly.
Yeah, confused screaming. It's always very important. Otherwise, you don't know it's me.
One of these days, it will be an imposter. Like someone
That's
will
true.
Come into
then
your...
we'll know. Then we'll know something has gone horribly wrong.
Ah, they've taken him. I'm excited for my new co-host, whomever that will be. So to our reptilian overlords in Merkmeyer, I will see you soon through Stark's account. Everyone else, you have a fantastic week, and we'll see you next Sunday. Bye, guys.
See ya.